Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Hey, let's prepare our hearts for the word. So take your Bible and hold it high in the air, whether it's in book form or digital form, and say this with me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed. Therefore, I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore, I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart. I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word, and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take that same Bible and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 10. And today we're going to speak about something which is very critical for any Christian, whether you are a new believer or you've been walking with Christ for a long time. Today is our third sermon in the series, Ready, Set, Grow. And we're going to speak about overcoming hindrances to growth. There is an enemy of your soul that desires for you not to grow in faith, for your relationship with the Father not to grow and expand, and for you to get closer to the Lord. The enemy of your soul is doing all that he can to keep you distracted so your life will not bear the fruit of Christ. Now, there are killers, growth killers, which all of us must be aware of. There are things which become the enemy to spiritual growth. And it's here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, that we have this great passage of the Good Shepherd and the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, the sheep follow him. But it's also here that we see that Jesus lays out his purpose for us. But he starts by declaring what the enemy of your soul is trying to do. Verse 10 says this: the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. Hear that. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Make no bones about it. Don't confuse it. Understand what the aim of the enemy, the purpose of the enemy, is: to steal and kill and destroy. How can you negotiate with the enemy like that? You cannot. If the enemy is out to steal and kill and destroy, there is no negotiation with that enemy. My purpose, this is Jesus speaking, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So if the purpose of Christ is to give us a rich and satisfying life, then the enemy is trying to thwart that plan. He is trying to stop that plan. He is trying to steal and kill and to destroy God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Many of you might be more familiar with the old English, where it says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Now be sure to catch this picture that Jesus is painting: a rich and satisfying life. Jesus is very plain. The enemy of our soul is constantly trying to steal from you. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to take your sanity. He's trying to steal your productivity. He's trying to steal your fruit. He's trying to take away your effectiveness. And he's trying to undermine your contentment. However, the word says the foundation of God standeth sure. Paul told Timothy, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his. Your name is inscribed on God's foundational stone. God has you covered. The foundation of God is not shaken. The foundation of God is sure. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The enemy has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, but God says, I'm going to give you life more abundant, a life that is satisfying, a life that is complete, a life that is growing. How many know that the purpose of God will stand? How many know the purpose of God is good? How many know the purpose of God will prevail? Jesus said, I have come to give you a rich and satisfying life. Now, let's notice the context of this promise. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Go down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. They know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So notice the context. The context is relationship with the good shepherd. This rich, satisfying life is found in the context of relationship with the shepherd. He says, they know me, and they listen to my voice. But also the context is this, the sacrifice of the good shepherd's life for the sheep. So this abundant life, this growing life is all based on the sacrificial work of Christ. And you and I have to learn to delve into the power of the cross, to dive and to attain the power of the resurrection. Jesus said, or Paul said this in Philippians 3:10, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know that power flowing through my life. See, we will grow into greater effectiveness when we know Christ. We will grow into greater effectiveness when we learn to listen to his voice. So today we're going to speak about ready, set, grow, overcoming hindrances to growth. Let's do this thing. Amen. Take your notes out and notice the first point we're going to talk about is you have to remove weeds. Removing weeds. Let me give you my thought. In our souls, weeds, spiritual weeds, threaten health, spiritual life, and vitality. We nurture growth by removing spiritual weeds that hinder progress and deplete resources. Now, every garden, whether large or whether small, has to be plowed and weeds removed in order for the vegetation to grow and bear fruit. Weeds become the enemy of healthy growth. It's important in our walk of growth and our walk of transformation that we address things in our life that hinder spiritual progress. Yeah. Spiritual weeds hinder spiritual growth. They become barriers to growth. Let's take a moment and identify some common spiritual weeds that may be common to all of us. One is this. Fears. Fear. Fear hinders. Fear paralyzes. Fear causes one to hide in the confines of comfort when God is calling us to the road of discovery and growth. God is calling you onto a great adventure. God is calling you to this road of discovery and growth. But because we are fearful of the unknown, we stay in the comfort of the confines of that which is familiar to us. Fear. Faith is the antidote to fear. Where faith flourishes, fear withers, and spiritual growth begins. Faith is the antidote to fear. Where faith flourishes, fear withers. If you want fear to disappear and to wither in your life, walk by faith. Let God guide you and lead you. Trust the promises of God. Keep taking steps of faith. And what you will realize is fear will begin to wither in your life. Now, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the courage to keep moving despite what you fear. Because you're trusting in the goodness of God. So you have to remove that spiritual weed called fear. Fear must be plucked from the garden of our hearts. Because fear often leads to doubt. Write that word, doubt. Fear plants the initial seeds of doubt by sowing apprehension and unease in your heart and mind. And as fear gains a foothold, it erodes your confidence. Now, confidence is important because it is confidence upon which faith stands. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Notice how he's speaking out in faith, being confident. I am assured. I know this. I know that I know. I can trust this foundational truth. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Other words, Paul says, I am confident that what God has started, he's going to continue to do until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, confidence is the foundation by which faith stands. So the roots of fear has to be taken away because fear leads to doubt. Like an incessant drip wearing away at solid rock. Just drip, drip, drip. Fear chips away at confidence, leaving behind a landscape of doubt. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. We see this powerful passage begin reading in verse 22. Immediately after this great miracle had happened, Jesus fed thousands. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he himself sent the people home. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus after a long day of ministry. He knows it's important for the disciples to get back on the other side. So he sends them ahead and he dismisses all the people, but he always has time to be with the Father in the mountain of prayer. Now, meanwhile, we see this picture. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came forward or toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Somebody needs to hear that today. Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Take courage. Jesus said, "I am here." Then Peter called to him, said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, Jesus said, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. What a powerful scene. Jesus said, yes, come. And immediately Peter jumped on the side of the boat. And guess what? He is walking on water toward Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified. There's fear, and begins to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Notice what he says. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Notice as he's addressing the doubt, why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they said. Fear led to Peter doubting. He began to sink. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. What a beautiful sign. What a great motive. Amen. What a great picture. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed Peter. See, in the midst of life storms, we feel ourselves sinking into doubt and fear. Remember that Jesus is always ready to reach out and rescue us with his unwavering love and steadfast grace. What a beautiful picture. As Peter is distracted by the wind and the waves, he takes his eyes off Jesus. He begins to sink. He cries out, and Jesus reaches down and picks him up. Jesus is about to reach down and pick you up today. Somebody needs to get this in your spirit. Call him, call on him, call on that name. He's about to reach down and pick you up out of that pit. Can somebody say amen? It's important that you deal with the doubt. And notice what Jesus did. He spoke to Peter's doubt. Why did you doubt me? Another spiritual weed that we need to address today are negative influences. Negative influence. People in our life. Oh, negative Nelly. Sits right here on your shoulder. You gotta get rid of old negative Nelly, huh? Say, get behind me. Now, if your name is Nelly, I apologize. I apologize. Get rid of some negative people in your life. What about places? See, you've been changed. You've been transformed. You can't hang out the same place you used to hang out. Come on. Some of you still trying to do the things you used to do. God's called you. God's anointed you. God's calling you out. Quit hanging in those old places. Get out of that life and realize what God is doing for you. He's come to give you life, more abundant, satisfying life. There's some things, some negative things you got to let go of. Come on, he's called you. He speaks to you. You have to remove the distractions from your life. Now, getting back to the previous passage, you find Peter stepping out of the boat. And it's amazing. He's walking on water. I love how the New Living Translation puts it, toward Jesus. Peter is walking on water toward Jesus. Can I challenge you? Find someone like Peter to hang out with. Find someone who can take God at his word. Find someone who will get out of the boat. Find someone who will walk toward Jesus. Find somebody who's willing to take a risk, who's willing to walk in faith. Find somebody like Peter to hang out with, and guess what will happen? That faith will begin to rub off on you, and you'll begin to be able to trust God, because there'll be people in your life doing the very same things that you're believing God for. Find someone who is willing to walk toward Jesus, who's willing to take a risk. Find someone who's willing to fall forward. Don't be afraid of falling as long as you're falling forward toward Jesus. Now, what I love about this, you've heard me say this over the years, the other 11 disciples, all they could do was describe what happened. Peter could tell you what it felt like to get out of the boat, what it felt like to feel the hand of Jesus scoop him up out of that water. See, church, there comes a point when it's got to move from theory and it's got to move to experience. It's got to move from a book you read to an experience you live. And this is what Jesus wants for you. He's come to give you life more abundantly. He's come to give you a rich, satisfying life. He'll call you to higher things. So you got to be willing to pluck out the weeds of doubt, of fear, negative influences. And you got to be willing to follow some folk like Peter. Surround yourself with people of faith, believing, trusting in God. So why are weeds the enemy of healthy growth? Because they choke and divide. Weeds choke out the good plants. It takes away the nutrients and sunlight. Doubts and fears and negative influences can choke out the nourishment needed for spiritual growth. Why do weeds need to be taken away? Because they impede progress. Weeds grow quickly and can overrun a garden if left unchecked, impeding the growth of a desirable plant. Write this, because they steal vital resources. Weeds will not only hinder growth, but also steal resources from healthy plants, leading to stunted growth and eventual decay. So let me ask you these very important questions. What are the weeds in the garden of your heart that need to be plucked out? What is hindering your spiritual growth? What are the spiritual weeds in your heart keeping you from experiencing God's best for you? What about God's best for your family? What are these things that you need the help of the Holy Spirit to take out of your life so that you can live your best life for God? So, overcoming hindrances to growth, it involves removing spiritual weeds in our lives. It also involves breaking chains of the past. Let me give you my thought. Embrace the freedom to grow by breaking free from the chains of the past and embrace the new path ahead. Chains are just that. They're meant to hold you down. They're meant to hold you back. The enemy is trying his best to throw chains on you. He's trying to get you all tied up, twisted up, and to keep you bound. But how many know whom the Son makes free is free indeed? It's imperative that you throw off the chains of your past, you throw off the chains of yesterday, and you walk in the freedom that's found in Christ Jesus, because God's about to do something new. Write that word new. Embrace the new. Now turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 verse 8. The Old English says it this way. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's imperative that we embrace our true identity. Yeah. You're not defined by your past mistakes. You're not destined to be held back by the chains of yesterday. You're meant for more. Now notice what he says. Don't remember the former things, the things of yesterday. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind. I forget all those accomplishments, and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. You got to be willing to let go, not remember, and to keep pressing forward in the name of Jesus. Now, he says, don't consider. So the Spirit of God beckons us to let go of the former things, to release the heavy chains of our past, and to behold the new things he is about to do. Now, if you look at the immediate context of the passage, it's not speaking of negative experiences, though they can be like chains, but the immediate context of the verse is speaking of positive things. The achievements, even though they were miraculous and great, they will not compare to what God is about to do. And church, sometimes we in Christian circles, we're stuck on yesterday. We're still talking about Goliath. We're still talking about the things we did 20 years ago. Hear me, there are new Goliaths to slay today. There are new achievements to reach forward to today. There are new victories to be had. There are new experiences to be gained. Yesterday was wonderful, but tomorrow's going to be even better, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can somebody give God praise? Write this, it's a new road. A road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It is a new landscape from hopelessness to a bright future. It's a new landscape from barrenness to fruitfulness. It's a new landscape of exponential growth. See, the chains of yesterday are gone, and the new path is being forged. God is moving you today toward healthy growth, wholeness and completeness. Ready, set, grow. Overcoming the hindrances to growth. Pluck out the weeds, fear, doubt, unhealthy relationships, break the chains of the past. And remember, in order for there to be healthy growth, there also must be a pruning for growth. Well, we don't like to talk much about this, because pruning is just what it means. It means to cut away. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Let me give you this thought. Cultivating and nurturing growth through purposeful pruning and submission and permission and communion with the Holy Spirit. This is what God is looking for. Recognizing the importance of trimming away elements in life that hinder spiritual growth. Look at verse 1 of John 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. See, pruning is important to the health of a grapevine. Now, let's talk about what pruning is not. Pruning is not, write this word, indiscriminate. It may feel indiscriminate, but it's not indiscriminate. In other words, they're just not cutting away just anything and everything just for the sake of cutting away. To the untrained eye, it may seem indiscriminate, but to the gardener, every cut is purposeful and intentional. It is made with much care and great thought. Another thing pruning is not butchering. He's not butchering your life. There's purpose. There's intention. Let me tell you why the gardener cuts away. Because he's making room for something better. You're walking through that stuff. Somebody's walking out of your life. Can I tell you that negative influence has walked out for a purpose? Because God's making room for something better. The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life more satisfying. I've come to give you life abundant. There are some things that feels like you're being subtracted from, but everything God takes away from you, he only makes room to add even more to your life. So it may be painful right now, it may be hard, and you may feel like the butcher is whacking away, but the Holy Ghost is working in a very fine-tuned, specific way, because he's getting you ready for more growth. He's getting you ready for more effectiveness. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. Let me read these verses in the Old English. Verse 2, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Notice the progression of these verses. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Now what must we do? Remember, the goal is healthy growth. Not just any growth. Healthy growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just wild growth.
That's good.
Healthy growth. I have a saying, if you've been around staff, we believe in growth, but not growth at any cost. We believe in healthy growth. We don't believe in growth anyway. We're going to grow healthy. So sometimes that means you got to cut away. Sometimes that means you got to confront. Sometimes that means you got to have conversations, because it's not just about opening the doors, and it's just not about growth upon growth upon growth. It's about growing in healthy ways, because growth can become the enemy if it's not pruned correctly.
That's good. That's good. That's a word.
Now, God wants you to grow healthy. So sometimes he's going to cut away the dead, the dying, the unhealthy, but he won't stop there. Sometimes he will cut away the good, because the good is keeping you from the best. Now notice what Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly, rich, satisfying life. So what must we do? Write the word submit. This is important. I know you don't want to write it. Write it. Come on. Write it. Men, you need to write that word, submit. We like to use that word. I like to throw it around. Hear me. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm preaching now. Ladies, I thought I heard an amen right there. Submit. Submit to the process. It's hard, because you know the shears are coming. Submit. Submission to God is rooted in humility, it's rooted in reverence and obedience to the divine will. Submission is a surrender of our own desires and wishes to align with God's purposes and God's guidance. It's saying, Lord, I don't know what lies ahead of me. I don't know what next week has, but I know this. You've called me today to abide. So, Lord, in abiding, I surrender. I submit to you right now. Cut those things in my life that need to be cut to make room for even greater things. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, write this word. Write the word permission. Give Holy Spirit permission. Give Holy Spirit, and I say it that way, Holy Spirit, because he is a person. Give the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, permission to cut away the dead things, the dying things, the unhealthy things, to cut away the good, to make room for the best. Allow God to prune, allow God to subtract so he can add something better later.
Good.
Finally, stay in communion and fellowship. Remember the context. Abiding. Abide in the vine. He's the gardener. We're the branches. Jesus is the grapevine. The branch cannot bear fruit alone. We only bear fruit by abiding. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to submit to the process, to give the Holy Spirit permission, and to stay in communion. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We're talking about healthy growth. If we're going to grow healthy, then what we have to do is remove the things in our life that hinder healthy growth. What are those spiritual weeds? It can be a heart of disbelief, stubbornness, rebellion. It can be a heart filled with doubt. Doubt towards God's intention for you. Could be relationships that are unhealthy, people. Could be some places. Some places you're hanging out that you have no business hanging out. Can be some things you're doing that you should not be doing. You got to be willing to remove those weeds, because weeds are choking the life out of you. Remember, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus has come to give you rich and satisfying life. Rich and satisfying. So what do we have to do? What we have to do is break the chains of the past. Throw them off. Just get rid of them. This one thing I do, I forget those. I'm going to press forward. I'm not going to live in yesterday. I'm going to live in the moment and watch God do something great. And then you have to surrender and submit to that pruning process, because healthy things are going to keep growing, but he's going to keep cutting because there's capacity for even more. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, of you, what God has in store for those that love him. God's got something great and powerful for your life. Will you stand with me, and will you bow your heads as you're standing? Quiet submission to the Lord as our heads are bowed. We're in a moment of prayer. Holy Spirit right now is revealing some weeds to be removed, some weeds to be plucked out, some weeds to be removed. Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. You have to say yes. You have to say, Lord, I submit to the process. Lord, as you identify these things, I will remove these things from my life. On the count of three, you'll recognize there's some weeds that need to be removed, and you'll say yes. One, God's going to work and move in your life. Two, there's some things in your life that are contrary to healthy growth. Three, lift your hand right now. Say, Pastor, there's some things in my life. There's some weeds that I need God to take out. I need God to remove. I want us as a church family to step out from where we are. GT worship is going to lead us. Let's build an altar here. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this day. In the name of the Lord.